It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
It is always great to be back in the next room. And, you know, I reset the show last week. I was talking about kind of the purpose and why I'm doing this. And then I put it out and said, hey, do you know of anyone? Do you have anybody that would like to be on the show, talk about death, dying, grief, near death, life after death, what comes next? You know, send somebody my way. And remarkably, I heard from so many people. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for those of you that are subscribing to the podcast through iTunes. I really appreciate it. And thank you for finding me. It's just through my little Facebook page, but I'm really starting to feel like I'm not just sitting in a studio talking to myself. And that is so important when you're doing a podcast, because I am right now. I mean, my little studio is maybe 10 by 8. It's very cute. It's very cozy. I have my little cleansing sage rosemary candle lit. I've got a picture of my dad and my dog right in front of me. It's a cozy little environment, but you're in a room talking to yourself. So getting feedback, getting people to contact me through Facebook or Twitter or Instagram just lets me know that I'm not just sitting here entertaining myself, so to speak. So there you go. I had to get that out there. Today, super, super excited to have back Vicky, Vicky Roncero. Vicky came on the show last year, and I can't remember how we found one another, but she is a super cool chick. She is a Reiki master teacher, energetic intuitive. She lives in New Jersey with her husband and children. She works with clients to help control stress, anxiety, life transitions. She works a lot with people that are going through a grieving process or getting ready to. She just put out a new book. It's called 28 Days of Reiki, and she has a forthcoming book called Tune In. So please, a warm welcome, huge applause for my guest, Vicky Roncero. Hi, Vicky.
Hi. Wow, what a nice introduction. I'm really excited to be back.
Can you hear the crowd? They're all like, clap, clap, clap. Yay. Vicky, right off the bat, like we were just talking off mic a minute ago, but explain to the audience of the next room, what exactly is Reiki? Because I know it's been around for centuries, but, you know, I know a lot of people are still like, what? What is that?
Sure. Well, Reiki, by definition, is two Japanese words, rei, meaning light, and ki, meaning energy. So it's basically light energy. And when you really think about it, without light, there's only darkness. And if there's only darkness, everything would be dead. There would be no life. So I really think of Reiki as life energy. And when you think of it that way, the life that's moving through each of us and each living thing, it's our connection to everything living. And to me, that's bringing in the light and giving you hope when you're in the darkness. That's sort of the goal of Reiki.
And then it's not a hands-on, though. So it's not something that you have to be in physically in a room with someone where they're touching you and all of that. So explain the distance part of it, because I'm in San Diego. You're in New Jersey. I have had a distance session with you, which was so cool. I loved it, and I need to do it again. But explain to our audience about how the distance Reiki actually works.
Sure. Well, a huge piece of Reiki is definitely hands-on healing. I have a lot of clients that do come into the studio because they're looking to move their energy. And Reiki works with connecting with places where you have trapped energy and moving it so that you're in perfect alignment. Basically, the theory is that we have our physical body, our mental body, and our energy body. And when the three are working together, that's when we're in optimal wellness. So some people do like to come in physically and have the touch and to feel the energy moving through them. But the beauty with Reiki is that it's not necessary to physically be present. You can be sending Reiki through the energy to the recipient, which you experienced when we did the distance healing. And to me, I feel like that is kind of what calls me the most, because I really feel like you can be effective with Reiki to anyone. I have clients that are in South Africa, and it's still amazes me when they get on the phone with me afterwards and tell me how they felt and what they felt and where I was working. And it's right on every time, because Reiki is, it's possible to send it through time. It's possible to send it through miles. It just really doesn't matter. You're connecting with the energy, and just like you and I are talking right now from my phone here and yours there, you're traveling through these energetic airwaves and frequencies, and you're connecting with the other person, and it's all about your vibration matching their vibration. It's difficult to understand, which is why I sometimes say to people, if you don't believe me, try a distance session, and then afterwards they're always hooked. So the distance piece is trickier to grasp because you're not physically feeling it, but it's just as powerful. And when you open yourself to light energy, you're connecting with energies of other realms, and sometimes messages come through for people, names, images. So I could be doing a distance healing on a person, and it actually starts to become more of a channeling, which is very interesting for clients. They really like when you hear, hey, who's Peter, or who, you know, when did this happen? Or with you, I said, oh, I can see the mountains, and I never knew that you had mountains, and from your window you could see them. So those sort of things coming through is the validation that, wow, this person really is connecting with me, which makes it super effective.
Yeah, it is. It's very, like, I didn't know anything about distance Reiki, and so when you had the session with me, it was really, really cool. Like, I felt very refreshed, but I also felt really kind of tingly and sort of tuned in. And you did. You pulled some cool things. I mean, you know, you connected with my sister, who you didn't know, but you connected with my sister, who is in the next room. And it was such a great, like, I just felt her presence during the session. And afterward, I was really warm. And I'm like, aw, far out, man. Lynn showed up, you know, which was really, really great. So the Reiki Master part of it, do you have to go and get certified to do this? How does that happen? Like, what do you have to go through to become a Reiki Master teacher?
Definitely, it's a three-part certification process. And the first, Reiki 1, is really about learning self-care Reiki, learning different hand positions that you can use as tools to help you connect to the light, to bring it into yourself. And I'm really passionate about teaching as many people as I can Reiki, different hand positions to kind of calm themselves when they're feeling anxious, to just remind them that they are something much bigger than their physical self, and that they're a lot stronger than they know. And when they can take the time to kind of connect with this light, it just kind of recharges you and reminds you that, okay, I got this. This is going to pass. I'm going to be fine. And it's a very grounding technique. So Reiki 1 is all about learning the self-care Reiki. And when you move on to Reiki 2, that's when you learn the distance healing. And that's when things start to get super, like, wild, because to be honest, I was like, okay, I got this. I did Reiki 1. It's helping me. I feel really good. I've done it on friends and family. But when my teacher said in Reiki 2, now we're going to learn how to send this through miles and time, and you're going to be able to do Reiki on someone in another country, I was like, oh, come on. And when it started to actually work, that's when I was completely hooked. I said, this is just beyond fascinating. And then Reiki 3, you're making a commitment to basically different people teach the Reiki Master program different ways, but my teacher was like 4 months of training with different weekends that were set up where you were there all day Saturday and all day Sunday, completely immersed in the learning, and then you were doing practical hours. So by the end, you've done like over 100 practical hours, and you've really kind of just immersed yourself in Reiki, and you've done it through distance and in person, and then you've kind of made the commitment to become a Reiki Master. And then the teaching part is taking it even further than that and learning how to teach what you've learned to others. And for me, I just kind of wanted to do it all because I felt like it had changed me so profoundly. I wanted to spread the light and help people in that way.
Very cool. Now, we were talking too a little earlier about, obviously, the show is about all aspects of ultimately death, you know, a location destination that each and every one of us will experience. How does Reiki help with death? Or what connection do you see between Reiki and death?
I think Reiki is so helpful in three parts of death. For me, the grieving piece is hugely important. I think that for the person who has lost a loved one, you can feel like you're just in such a really dark place, and grieving is a very, very heavy energy to work through. So connecting with light and just even showing people, or even doing it to yourself, to connect with even just a tiny bit of light in the darkness shifts the darkness to a lighter place and just really helps you see that, wait, maybe there is some hope. Maybe this is going to be okay and my life can move on without this person in it. So just that little reminder that there's light and connecting to that light is a huge tool to use with grieving. Another place is with me. I've done so many distance healings at this point where people who have passed over, like your sister, come through and have a message for the person. And that really just that, even if it's a tiny little message that's something silly or a memory of something that you've forgotten and it makes you chuckle, like with you, there was something with a rhubarb pie that I remember. And
right.
Like, oh my gosh. So it's just this little faith, this little spark of faith that, wow, there's no way that she could have known this. And this was definitely a message from my sister.
Right.
And it just gives you that something to hold on to that really makes you understand that we are so much more than our human selves.
Right.
And our energy moves on.
I just wanted to interrupt quickly because of the rhubarb pie. So,
yeah.
So just a little backstory. So when I was growing up in this small farm town in Michigan, Deckerville, killer place to grow up. I love it. I still go back there. I have tons of friends there. It is just like literally, you know, like Mayberry. All right. Everybody knows everyone. Everybody would lend a helping hand. You need your, you know, if you need something shoveled, some snow out of your driveway, you've got your neighbors. I mean, it's just, it's really a loving, cool little community. Not a lot of people, a lot of cows, a lot of churches, just a cool place. Well, I grew up there 18 years, same house. Behind our huge, big old barn, we had a massive rhubarb patch. And I was always the one, like, go get the rhubarb, bring it in. And my mother always made, like, cool rhubarb, strawberry rhubarb pies or whatever. So you told me about that, and it was with my mom and my sister, and you were saying they were sitting down, and you mentioned rhubarb, and they were making this pie, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I told my sister Gail, who is still in this room with us, she's next in line after my sister Lynn, and I told her about it. And when I went home last summer, do you know that amazing sister of mine, who I absolutely adore, everybody loves Gail. Like, she's sort of like the mayor of the whole thumb of Michigan. She made me a rhubarb crisp. Because I told her about the story about you with Lynn and my mom and the whole thing. So anyway, just a sidestep. So back to death and Reiki. You were going on to the third part.
Yes. So that whole idea of just kind of connecting you with that faith, and maybe if somebody has been losing faith, or, you know, they maybe didn't believe, or they just have never had a sign from someone who's passed, suddenly it kind of sparks something in them that gives them that faith. And the third piece is the idea of connecting you with your loved ones through the energy. So, you know, you're restoring your faith. You are using it as a tool for grieving. And then you're also, if you're feeling like you're really missing someone and your grieving is very intense and heavy, and you're able to just even quietly sit down in a chair and start to think about the person and how they made you feel, or even if it's just like the smell of something cooking that they used to like to cook and you fill your house with that smell, whatever the energy is that gets sparked in you, Reiki teaches us that we have every single memory and emotion in our feelings, and all of those feelings, memories, and emotions are trapped in us from birth till now. So when you start to even look at a picture of someone that you're missing, like you have your dad's picture, you said, in the video, just even connecting with that picture and it's sparking a memory, it triggers a feeling and an emotion in your body that brings that person right back.
Mm.
So the Reiki master can connect you with the person in terms of, you know, like your sister Lynn, but you yourself can connect with the energy that's inside of you by simply just the memories that bring back that person.
Right.
And that, to me, is a really powerful tool, just noticing and remembering that the person's energy never dies and the love that they left behind is their legacy. And I really feel like people's energy is what stays forever. And connecting with that is something you can do at any point. And people kind of forget that. And one big piece of Reiki, when you're doing Reiki on someone, you're becoming a conduit for the light, and the light is coming through you into that person to help them move through something. And the most effective you can be as a Reiki master, and it comes with practice, is when you can really just kind of like get out of your own way and not even be a part of it, just literally let it come through you and then download to the person what the experience was, what came through, what you want to tell them. And we try to like say, oh, am I doing this right? And we get all like, if we get too wrapped up in the technique or the hand positions, that doesn't happen. That happens only when we can kind of switch ourselves off and just allow ourselves to be the conduit that the light is using to come through. And I kind of have used that same way of thinking with my grieving, because when you first lose someone that you love, you're so connected to the pain of that loss. And when you can actually disconnect yourself and your head from it, and you only move from a space of love, you start to realize, like, well, wait a minute. You know, this person is always alive in me, and this energy is always alive in me, and I need to disconnect the piece that is feeling sad that this person is no longer physically here and connect with the love and the piece of the light that's coming through always.
Mm.
And it's hard to grasp, but when you can really move in that energy, you start to really feel not only grieving for the person, but you can't help but feel the energy of gratitude and all the things that that person brought to you and the things they brought to your life. Like in my case, it was my dad who passed last year, and my grieving was working through how heavy it was to have lost my dad. It was a huge loss for me. But then I started to really think of all of the love, all the gratitude, all the things that I am because of my dad, and just feeling that is, it's hard not to shift into that space of gratitude and to really feel that love is always with you, and that love is what made you who you are, and that to me is kind of keeping the person's legacy alive.
Absolutely. That's so funny. I'm sorry about that little minor interruption, but I have like three computers in the studio, and I have this old one which I don't want to part with because it has so many great old pictures on it. And I've got to get another external hard drive to, you know, download everything. So anyway, I have this, all these great pictures of my dad when he came out to visit after my mother had passed. He couldn't bear to go to Florida alone, so he came out here, hung out with us for a month. And I have just all kinds of cool pictures of my dad. So I had started pulling them up, just looking at them before I called you. And at the same time, I was listening to an old soundtrack, like the stuff that he loves, you know, After Hours and Benny Goodman and stuff. So I just went to touch the bar just to have the picture come back up. He's feeding my dog a cookie, Honey.
Uh-huh.
And the song popped on. And I started laughing because I clearly turned it off. I turned the music off before we started this. So that was my dad saying hello. So, hi, Dad.
Hi.
He's always got to poke his nose in. He likes to be noticed, you know?
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it is a very good thing. Okay, so I love how you're describing Reiki and how it can help other people and how it has helped you and why you do this. What for you, like, because you are an intuitive and because you are connected, what do you feel is waiting for us when we expire and we transfer or we transition energy, I guess? What does Vicky think is on the other side?
I think we're met on the other side with the energy of all the love that we experienced in our life. And what's really crazy is part of me sometimes thinks that maybe I started this whole Reiki journey to help people transition, because I had had an experience 10 years ago when my grandma died. I was helping her, and I was not yet a Reiki master, and I was just kind of putting my hands on her and, like, touching her in different ways. And my brother later said, my goodness, when I was watching Vicky, it was like she was helping someone, you know, like, have a baby, like, bring a life out of them. And then when my grandma passed, you know, it was like the life was leaving her. And it just, that whole idea connected with me really profoundly. I was like, wow, I really want to explore the idea of helping people transition. And learning Reiki and doing Reiki led me to the bedside of my dad when he was passing. I felt like I was able to help him in, like, such a time where you can feel really helpless. I was able to really help my dad, and I was connecting with energies that were coming into the room, and at points it was crazy. Like, I had a whole conversation with my dad's mother, who I had never met. She had died when he was young, and I felt his sister coming into the room, and I felt friends and family that I knew when I was little, and I was almost like, my goodness, am I hallucinating? It was just, it was really trippy to be like 2 or 3 in the morning, and just, you kind of get to that groggy place where you've been sitting by someone's bedside for a few days, and you're just, you know, you can start to think, is this my imagination? But it was so, so specific and so real that it just really grounded me in my belief that when you pass, you are being greeted. It's like they're almost waiting for you and waiting to take you, and you've earned this space in this very peaceful existence where now your energy of love is just kind of drifting with theirs. And I think it's definitely taken away my fear of death and the idea of finality. I think that you most definitely move on to a beautiful space with the energy of the love that you experienced while you were in this plane. And I think that's beautiful.
It is beautiful. I love that thought. Do you feel that we are, do you feel like this conversation around what is next in the next room and energy and being greeted by our loved ones, being able to connect with our loved ones once they cross, do you feel that we're becoming more open and that it's gaining a wider audience? Because anyway, just answer that question.
Yes, I most definitely think so. And I think it's kind of high time, you know. I feel like I was hearing these murmurings of, like, death cafes in England and spaces where people felt comfortable getting together and talking about death. And, you know, in this country back then, that would be considered like, oh, gosh, why would you talk about that? And, like, even, you know, at the point where after my grandma had passed, I remember telling my mom and dad, oh, I'd like to take this death doula class. And they were like, oh, a death doula, how sad. What a, you know, why would you want to do that? And I think that actually the more people are open to realizing that death is, like you said, I mean, we don't have a round trip ticket. I mean, we have a round trip ticket. We come from God and we go back to God, if that's what you believe, or if you just believe that it's energy or wherever it is that you came from, you're going to go back. It's not a one-way ticket. And people kind of live their life thinking that they're just going to be here forever. And you know, I know sometimes when my mom calls me and says, oh my gosh, you won't believe it, but so-and-so's sick. And I get off the phone and I think, my goodness, that person she's talking about is like 90 years old. And of course, like, they're going to die. Like, unfortunately, it's the reality for all of us. And when you start to connect with mindfulness, and mindfulness is the underpinnings of Reiki, and you start to realize that everything that's alive has its cycle, like the seasons have their cycles, and you see a tree and you see the beautiful abundant leaves, and then they fall off in the fall, and the tree right now could look so bare and naked, and you go back in a few months and you see little buds, and those buds become leaves. It goes on and on and on. So what looks like dying is actually a beginning. And I think when you can start to really connect with life and the cycles of nature and really believe that your energy is infinite, then it's not as such of a, like, sad thing. And it's very, very sad to lose people you love. And I certainly don't mean to sound like callous or cold in that respect. And sometimes it can be perceived that way when people have conversations surrounding death, which I think it's important to shift into that space of energy and into realizing that when you truly connect with light and you realize that your energy is infinite, it's kind of beautiful. And like recently I heard this quote I really liked by Richard Bach, and it says, "What the caterpillar calls the end of the world, the master calls the butterfly." And to me, it's just like that whole idea that, you know, I can grieve my dad and feel bad and feel heavy, but I know he'd want me to be out living my life. And
right.
I just feel like I know that in the end of his life, he was very, very ill and he needed oxygen like 24/7. And it's not the kind of life he'd want to live. And I know that he's now a butterfly. And to me, that I have to look at that unselfishly and disconnect my own pain from that and look at it from a space of love.
Right.
And look at that butterfly flying and think that, you know, that's my dad. So.
Right.
That, I think, is a helpful way to look at things.
Yeah, I think it is, too. And I do feel the conversation, it just seems to be wide open. I think more and more people are curious. And as I, you know, hear about friends that are grieving, I mean, it's never, ever easy when someone leaves their earthly place at a young age. And it's always, you know, there's always that question, like, well, why is that happening? And, you know, and you don't want to be disrespectful and say, well, their journey is up, but I don't know, because I don't have any answers, because I'm just, I'm just here in the now. But I like to think about it. I like to look at it. I think it's really beautiful. I feel like we do just continue on in what other, you know, wherever the next room is, I think we will just continue. And it is kind of going back to source, going back to love, and, you know, and being reunited with those loved ones. So it's hard to, you know, kind of wrap your head around it, because, well, it is and it isn't. Sometimes it's like super easy, but then other times you have this overwhelming feeling of grief. So moving forward, what would you like to do the most? You like distance healing. And if anybody's listening right now and they're like, wow, you know, Vicki is so speaking my language and it's resonating with me, I just want to let you know you can contact her. Let's see. It's Vicki@RonceroReiki.com. So it's RonceroReiki, RonceroReiki.com. That's your email, Vicki. And then Instagram, you can find her at RonceroReiki. So what do you want to do? Like, what's next for you? You just wrote 28 Days of Reiki. Where can we find the book?
Well, the book is actually kind of written by mistake. I've been working for 3 years on a different book called Tune In, which is about my journey from being a TV writer-producer to being a Reiki master. And the path with that book has been, as you know, because you're a writer, you can have times where you can put a lot of time into your book and then you can get distracted. But with 28 Days of Reiki, it was around this time last year, and I was really feeling the loss of my dad, and we had just gotten through the funeral and the holidays and everything, and I just was like, wow, I need to do something for myself, because I'm a Reiki master and I have to show up for my clients and make them feel good, and I just really feel heavy. So I had started an Instagram account, and I didn't have many followers at all, and I just decided to do it more for myself. I would go out each day. My birthday was coming up at the end of January, and I said, I'm going to go out each day and take a picture and post about the Reiki in the picture, the energy, and reminding myself of all the life that was out there. So even if picture of the clouds or a plant or a leaf, I wrote about the Reiki in the picture in the moment. And on the 28th day, I felt like, wow, I really shifted myself into a different, more positive space and felt very connected to everything living and was able to move forward. And then, oddly, I also got a lot of followers, which was nice. I mean, a lot, relatively speaking. But, you know, the following grew, which was kind of fun. And Then I got this little ad on Instagram that said, you know, turn your Instagram posts into a book. Well, it was a little ad for a place called Chat Books. And I ordered it. I just kind of put the pictures, the 28 days, into a book. And 3 days later, when it arrived and I was holding it in my hand, I was like, wow, this is something really special. Because if you follow it day by day, it's really a little healing. Mm. And this could help many people. And so I printed up a bunch of copies and I had them in my studio. And when clients would come in, they said, I want to order 5 of these. I'd like 4 of these. And I was like, wow, the book's not published. It's not for sale. But I just started making copies, like batch copies, and taking orders. And I have it now in 4 different stores, 2 in New Jersey and 2 in Long Island.
And good for you.
People can order one on my website as well. So that's been kind of exciting.
I love that. Good for you. You know what? We are out of time. I mean, I didn't even start the timer when we got started because we were just chatting. So I have no idea where we are, but I think we're right around that 26-minute mark. And I don't want the Empower Radio to like clip this halfway through. So just a wonderful delight to speak to you again and to hear about your journey and 28 days of Reiki. What is your website that you can send people to in case they want to connect with you?
It's RonsaroReiki.com.
Okay, perfect. Super easy, just like the Instagram. My guest is Vicky Roncero. She is a Reiki master and a great energetic intuitive. And as you can hear, she's very passionate and just a really beautiful soul. So if any of this resonated with you, I have done it, and I'm going to do it again because it feels really cool. It was an unexpected connection that I had. I had no idea what to expect, and it was pretty darn cool. Especially the second time around, I have to say, was super powerful. So thank you for coming on the show, Vicky.
Okay, thank you so much, Jane.
And you know what? I'll talk to you again next week. I believe my good friend Pamela Osley is coming back on the show. I also finally tracked down Julie, who's the director from UniCare Hospice. She's going to come on. And a gal got a hold of me from back east that is a veterinarian, but she works with an organization that helps end of life for your pets. And she sent me a beautiful message and I'm like, you have to come on the show. So all kinds of fun shows coming up in the next room. So thank you so much for tuning in today.
Join Jane again next week for the next room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to the next room.